And we're off.
And we're off. Welcome, friends, to Worst Foot Forward, the podcast that celebrates the best of the worst. I'm Ben Vanderveld, and this week you join us celebrating an extra little tidbit. No! Fucking cunt! Hello, friends, and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, the podcast that celebrates the best of the worst. I'm Ben Vanderveld, and this week you join me hop, skipping, and jumping along on all three of the podcast's feet as we do a deep dive into some festive trivia for our special edition, The Third Foot. And with me is the podcast's very own Red Red Robin, Bob, bobbing along. It's the little raw-chested... beetroot nippled Barry McStay.
I really need to get that checked, but it's a nightmare getting an appointment around Christmas and New Year's.
Yes, it really is. And you also need to stop strapping bird seed to your sternum.
Yeah. This is our last release of the year. And
no, my last release of the year will be about an hour after my Christmas meal.
What have you got in store for us, Ben?
Well, one of my favourite things for Christmas is mulled wine and mulled cider and anything mulled. You put a liquid within 5 feet of me during the month of December and I will mull the living daylights out of it.
Mulled Cydona.
Mulled, yeah. That is a mulled Muse track.
Mulled ginger ale.
Oh, God, yes.
Mulled milk.
Oh, God, yeah. Honestly, yeah. Mulled yoghurt. Mulled vermouth.
I want to try carbonated yogurt.
I don't know what I want to do. I want to mull milk and then I want to put it in a not an easy jet. What are those things?
SodaStream.
SodaStream, yeah. SodaStream mulled milk. I feel like I'm trying to activate a Manchurian candidate now.
This weird word association game.
Yeah.
So are you talking to us about mulling then?
Mulling. Well, frankly, I'm mostly talking to you about the Isle of Mull.
Oh, which is in Scotland?
It is. It is off the west coast of Scotland. It is the fourth largest island in Scotland and Great Britain. Not many people on it. Only about 3,000 people on it. But it's got quite a history and quite a few connections to this podcast.
Oh.
First of all, what does the word mull mean in Scots Gaelic?
In Scots.
In Scots, yeah.
Mull. What's it like in Irish? Mull. Is it related to pig?
No.
Muck is the Irish for pig. I don't know then.
It means baldness or bareness. Because it's a bit of bald island.
Ah. Mwael is bald in Irish.
There you M-A-O-L. Go. No, yeah.
In fact, that's partly where my name in Irish comes from. My McStay is Mwaelstig, which is something to do with bald servants of somebody else.
So you'll bury the son of a bald servant.
Something like that.
Good
yeah.
Lord. Barry the Slapheed. I love
yes.
it.
Yes, my ancestors have been having Brazilians for centuries, in more ways than one.
obviously, the second most famous mull in Scotland, the most famous being the Mull of Kintyre, home
yes.
of friend of the show, Paul McCartney.
Close personal friend
Close
of the show.
Close personal friend.
And I think we've probably talked about the... whether it's true or not, the sort of the BBC's
yes.
or the British Board of Film Classifications guidelines about how erect a penis can appear on screen in the olden days was it had to be no more erect than the Mull of Kintyre, the way it hangs off
yes.
the edge of Scotland.
I love it. It has to be no more erect than a man standing naked on the beach of the Mull of Kintyre.
Yes.
On the winter equinox.
It sort of recalls the early Euro coins where they pointed out that the Scandinavia bit minus Norway did just look like a cock and balls hanging down.
Yeah, well, that is what we like to refer to Scandinavia as.
Europe's cock and balls.
Yes.
Which is weirdly at the top, given the boot is at the bottom.
Yeah, but historically, Europe is quite a dickhead.
Yeah.
So it does work. So little bits and bobs about Mull. It was first populated in sort of modern times in about the 6th century AD when Irish migrants invaded it and the surrounding coast, and they began to establish the Gaelic kingdom of Dal Riata. Do you know this?
Dal Ria?
That's probably how yeah. it's pronounced. Yeah. Which, if you don't know, it's fascinating because I'm, as someone who studied history at university, I'm very bad at imprinting modern maps on the medieval and indeed ancient world. Mm. But Scotland didn't come together as the Scotland we know it till probably the early Renaissance. Mm-hmm. So this was for a couple of centuries. You had an eastern kingdom comprising of a Western kingdom comprising of East Ireland, or Northeast Ireland, and West Scotland. And these were, I think, the Picts, but it's so hard to know. that kingdom existed until the Vikings came and trashed the living daylights out of it.
They did not like Bond movies, the Vikings.
No, not
particularly the living daylights.
Yes, no, not in any way. So, but the connections to our podcast come predominantly in World War II. Mm-hmm. No, start again. But the connections to our podcast start in the 1900s. So there is a small island off the Isle of Mull, and it's called Frank Lockwood's Island.
Was it owned by somebody called Frank Lockwood?
It was owned by someone. It was named after someone called Frank Lockwood. Right. Sir Frank Lockwood, QC, right. An English lawyer and Liberal Party politician who sat in the House of Commons in the late 19th century. Mm. Why do you know him?
Why do I know him?
Yeah.
Does he go by a different name? No. Did he work for Oscar Wilde?
No, he worked against Oscar Wilde. He prosecuted Oscar Wilde.
Ah.
And Lockwood was the brother-in-law of the 21st MacLean of Loch Buey. And the 21st MacLean of Loch Buey, whatever that was, named a small island off the coast of Mull after him.
As all homophobes.
Yeah. Yes, we should call that Homophobes Island and just put them all on there and slowly sink it into the sea. Next up, a military man is connected to it, and that is Sir Colin Gubbins. Huge fan of that name.
Gubbins?
Yes. To give him his full name, Major General Sir Colin McVean Gubbins.
It really declines in grandness the further you get into that whole title, isn't it?
Why do we know him?
Gubbins. Was First World War? Second World War?
Second World War.
Was he involved in... in Bletchley? Did he work for the SOE, for the Special Operations Executive?
Didn't just work for them. He was a prime mover in creating them.
Ah.
He was your man. And I, he's an absolutely remarkable figure.
So if you haven't listened to our episode, I think it's World's Worst Prank, we talk about the Special Operations Executive quite a lot. They were the ones who tried to sort of undermine German morale in the Second World War with various, you know, things like... itching powder in condoms being delivered to barracks and dropping postcards with mocked up pictures of Hitler with his dick out over Germany and things like that.
All of this sort of business. So what happened was that in the mid-war period, the Foreign Office, the GHQ and the Joint Intelligence Committee sought to remove the SOE's autonomy, probably because they were doing all this sort of nonsense.
Yes.
They were all placed under a chap called Sir Charles Hambrough, And in response to this, Sir Charles Hambrough, who is the executive head of the SOE, resigned in protest, and it was Gubbins who was appointed as his replacement.
Every
Hambrough needs a Gubbins. he basically resisted any further dismantling of the SOE. Oh. And it was really under Gubbins that it really did its greatest work. Coordinated with the Foreign Office at very high levels. And it turned out that his organised resistance through the SOE was at its most effective in the later years of the war.
Yeah.
So,
Salute. Major General, whatever that, Gubbins.
Salute. Colin Gubbins.
Colin Gubbins. Later retired and worked in accounts.
Yeah.
somewhere near Bristol.
Well, he was described as a real Highland toughie and bloody brilliant in one biography of him. But my favourite military figure connected there, who lived there for a bit, was a chap called... I have not found his first name.
Sorry, what was Gubbins' connection to Mull? I might have missed that. Did he live there?
Gubbins lived there as a small child.
Ah, right. Okay. And presumably didn't have enough people to prank with a population, as you said, only about 3,000, so decided to take on all of Germany instead.
The Isle of Mull was used during World War II as a restricted area and a naval base, and it was under the purview of Commodore Sir Gilbert Stevenson, who was also nicknamed the Terror of Tobermory.
Oh.
Now, Tobermory is the main village on Mull. You know, I know why you know Tobermory.
Tobermory's a womble, isn't it?
Probably. Oh, I think he might be.
Yeah.
Well, it's also Tobermory is the home of fictional place Balamory.
Oh, yes, which is a kids' TV show, yes.
Yeah, starring Miles Jupp. And what a journey that place has been on, from being a World War II naval base to essentially the home of Scottish Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Stevenson was known, as I say, as the terror of Tobermory because he was an incredibly strict disciplinarian. And he was mostly tasked with training wartime reservists.
Mm.
And one frequent anecdote was that when inspecting a corvette and its crew, he suddenly threw his hat on the deck and called it an unexploded bomb. And a trainee immediately kicked it into the water, and Stevenson commended him on the quick action and then demanded he go and retrieve his gold-plated hat.
The ultimate version of think fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Sidebar, and this is not relevant to anything apart from I need to tell somebody. Mm-hmm. I was at work the other day. I'm in an immersive show in London at the moment, and I was leaning against a wall in quite a quiet area of the show, and one of my castmates called my name out from across the room, and I turned to see he had thrown a ball at me, and left-handed I reached out and caught it from midair, and I've never felt more cool being a right-handed gay man. And nobody apart from me and him were there to witness it.
I love those little moments. I remember years ago being at university and very much enjoying inhaling from Mary Jane's greenhouse, and I was high as a kite, and my friend at the other end of the room, I said, can you pass me the lighter? And he must have been 20 foot away, and I did not move. He threw it. It landed plumb in my palm, and as my friend describes it, my universe collapsed in on itself. My favourite thing about Tobermory, and I think this is inspiration for my favourite Goon Show episode, is that legend has it there is a wreck of a Spanish galleon in Tobermory Bay from the Spanish Armada.
Yeah.
So obviously the Spanish Armada attacked England in 1588, and because God was on our side,
yeah,
a storm blew it all the way around the east coast and up into Scotland, and a lot of them crashed in Ireland.
Yeah, they didn't go from the channel back down to Spain. They had to go the long way around.
Yes, there was just lots of cries in Spanish of people going, reverse, reverse! And they couldn't. And it's alleged there is up to £300,000 worth of gold bullion there. Other sources claim that it didn't have that, that the boat in question was the San Juan de Sicilia, and so it contained troops, not treasure. And so,
so there's £300,000 of troops down there.
Yeah, yeah. there were attempts to salvage it in the 17th century. The Duke of Lennox gifted rights to the wrecks to the Marquis of Argyll, who sort of owned land near there. And in 1666, his son engaged a chap called James Maule of Melgum to use diving bells to find treasure.
Wow.
Who do you want to go down in a 17th century diving bell?
They'd probably just take a bell off a cathedral and drop it on you in the water.
Yeah, now he, and here's a connection to the podcast commission, he learned diving in Sweden, but he only managed to raise up two brass guns and an iron cannon, and then he left after 3 months going, I cannot work under these conditions. So next, he employed a chap called John St. Clair, who was the son of a minister in Ormiston, and a German subcontractor, Hans Albrecht von Treleben. And Hans was an expert in retrieving things from wrecks, because he too had worked in Sweden.
Was this on the Vasa?
He'd worked on the Vasa.
Which, again, I think, was it worst invention or something we talked about? Where this is this great royal family Swedish battleship, which they decided to put double layers of cannons on both sides, and it tipped over on its maiden voyage in the harbour in Sweden. It's quite a famous story now.
Yeah, within like 30 minutes, it just basically launched and then slowly sank into the water. The largest attempt to locate the galleon was in 1950, when the then Duke of Argyll signed a contract with the British Admiralty. And I imagine many members of the Admiralty wanted to lash General Stevenson to a mast and like send it down. But they couldn't get anything out.
So it's still there.
Still there. It's still there.
Well, that would be a hell of use for our Patreon. If anyone wants to get some doubloons, we'd accept donations in dollars, pounds and doubloons.
Absolutely. And then the last thing I want to tell you about is mulling itself. It goes all the way back to Roman times, mulling of sort of fortifying wine with spices and fruits.
And warming it. And
warming
that, yeah.
It, yeah. And it may be suggested that it is the Romans brought wine with them to the outer reaches of the kingdom, and they got to Scotland and went, "Oh, it's a bit cold, let's warm it up."
Yeah, but imagine fortifying ancient Roman wine, which I imagine was not weak.
No. it is referred to in a quite famous medieval English cookery book called The Form of Curry from 1390, which included cinnamon, ginger, galangal, cloves, long pepper, nutmeg, marjoram, cardamom, and grains of paradise.
Ooh, they sound tasty.
Yeah.
That's all the good stuff in that.
Yeah, really. I'd say something like galangal, that is coming from Southeast Asia, so
yeah,
that is
wow.
A real rich man's drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Another version that is famous during Dickensian times was smoking bishop, made from port, red wine, lemons or oranges, sugar and cloves. And the citrus fruit was roasted beforehand to caramelise it before you stuck it in.
It's just Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, it's just Christmas in a mug. It sounds tremendous. There were other versions of it known as the ecclesiastical drinks, including smoking archbishop, smoking beadle, which you drunk and then perform pranks on people, smoking cardinal, or the smoking pope, made with...
Sorry, the smoking cardinal feels like the final missing clue in uncovering a great Vatican conspiracy.
Yeah.
We need to find the smoking cardinal.
And smoking pope is what the cardinals are all drinking before they announce a new pope.
The smoking pope smokes dope.
Yes, he does. So it's, yeah, but the worst, because of course this is a podcast that ring worst things, the worst example of something mulled comes from a few years ago when Tesco, trying to get into the festive spirit, released their own brand, Mulled Spice Bleach, for when you want your loo to smell of mulled wine.
Why?
Well, listen.
Like, who wants to mull their shits?
Yeah.
That's going to really confuse somebody drunk. At a Christmas party, they go for a pee, and they're like, you know the way you can sometimes smell asparagus when you have a weed? Why can I smell...
I am so hammered on festive spirit that I have
mulled my urine. Drinkable now.
I mean, we've all been so drunk that we've come to that conclusion. So, yeah, that is my brief history of all things mulled.
Very good. Well, listeners, if you have mulled anything interesting this festive season, do let us know. And next time we'll see you will be in the new year. So if you have any good resolutions, let us know what they are for 2024. Do you have a resolution for 2024?
My resolution is for me and my wife to spend more evenings in cooking together.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Mine is to earn more money for the work that I do.
Interesting. How can our listeners help with that?
Oh, funny you should mention that, Ben. They could go to patreon.com/worstfootforward and donate to the podcast. You can donate, I think, in monthly installments, or if you want, you can make one-off donations.
You get a special deal. You get 10% off your donation if you donate annually.
Yes, some people, I think, like to give a sort of a one-off gift to say, well, I've listened to a load of your podcast now, so here's some money for that. And some people are just like, you know what? I'm employing you monthly to keep you entertained.
Monthly retainer.
And if you do donate, you get various different perks. You get some bonus content if you donate at any level. And if you donate at £5 a month, you get to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode. We've nearly cleared our backlog of them. So
pretty much, yeah.
We're looking for so many more new ones. Send them our way.
And last of all, if you are somebody who's listening to this on Christmas Day.
This is after Christmas Day. This will be out. This will be like 29th.
Then ignore that shit.
What was that?
Send us a photo.
Yes, yeah. I did that in the last episode.
Oh, fair
enough. Also, we did this with Christmas Day, New Year's Day. If any of you are listening to this on New Year's Day and you're celebrating New Year's in somewhere interesting, I'll be in Melbourne. Send us some photos on our social media or to our email. You can catch us on social media on @worstfoot, on the artist formerly known as Twitter, and on Instagram. And our email is worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. I think that's pretty much it.
It very much is. A very merry Yuletide. I was about to say a very mule tide.
A very mulled tide.
A very mulled tide to you all.